This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is John Bodie, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with John Bodie of the Corn Refiners Association next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 560 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The corn refining industry faces similar challenges to the farmers who grow the raw product as the base of their business. But corn refiners also shoulder obstacles that include the evolution of consumer preferences and government dietary guidance and preferred food ingredients. John Bodie, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association, says these are challenging economic times.
Jeff, it's tough. It's real tough right now. When it gets down to it, corn refiners are so wedded to the rest of the food and agriculture economy. We're right in the middle. And so the producers we work with need to do well. And then we need markets, just like farmers everywhere need markets. Our domestic markets are disrupted. Our international markets are declining, and our future markets is based on growth of the bioeconomy, and that's really not going anywhere. The growth is primarily in Asia. So these are tough times.
How did the corn refiners see all of this cadre of items from policy that producers are facing, in addition to the challenges from input costs and commodity prices overall?
Jeff, we're affected the same way as our neighbors in agriculture. A number of the issues you've listed are directly affecting us, but we need a healthy farm and food and agriculture economy. And that's what's most important. So we are with the producers on all those issues. I would say one thing, though. What I also hear the producers saying is they want to produce for markets, not for getting direct payments or from the government, ad hoc payments to compensate them for loss of markets in international markets. So we need those markets. We're hearing from other countries that ad hoc payments are being used as justification for holding down our exports. And so that gets to be a vicious cycle. And what we need to do is what I think America's corn growers have been saying all along. We want better markets. We want to produce for markets.
For the 10th year, your association has been involved in providing a Feed the Economy report that really puts some dollars and cents into what the American food and ag sector means to the U.S. economy. What were the highlights this year that you would want to point out?
Jeff, we were thrilled that we got to work with 34 other Food and Agriculture National Trade Associations in producing this report to tell the story about food and agriculture's economic impact on for America. And it found that food and agriculture accounts for $10.4 trillion of output. That's 20% of our national economy. It supports about 20%, 1 in 5 jobs in America, and directly employs about 10% of the jobs in America. And that, when you look at the thinner slice of it, manufacturing of agricultural products, that's 2.3 million jobs, and that's more than twice as many Americans working in food and agriculture manufacturing as in automobile manufacturing. Unfortunately, you know, the data don't lie. The truth is that exports are down $5.4 billion year over year. And that is about 10% decline over the last 10 years in American food and ag exports. Wages are down, and that's a way of capturing that working in food and agriculture simply hasn't kept up with inflation by any means. So our food and agriculture economy is big. It's important. It's vital to the American economy, but we are in some troubling times.
This is a market that feeds not only a domestic demand, but a global demand. And clearly the food industry is facing a similar plight as the general commodities in that exports are down and the trade deficit still higher than many want to see.
Yes. And so, and of course that comes through in the data. What I think a lot of people don't understand is that when we look at food and agriculture exports, it is, of course, those commodity shipments that are so important. We all focus on those for very good reasons, corn, beans, other commodities. But about half of America's exports in food and agriculture are consumer-ready products, consumer-oriented products. And then another good slice of it, about 20%, 18%, is intermediate. So it is the ingredients for those consumer-oriented products. And so that's where all this value addition comes in. And when exports are down, it hurts manufacturing in agricultural products as well.
John, the internet and social media have created a lot more so-called experts. And there are plenty of opinions now about the food production system. What are your thoughts toward the MAHA reports and toward the new food guidelines that have come from the Department of Agriculture?
Jeff, first of all, I think MAHA, Making America Healthy Again, deserves a lot of credit for focusing attention on the need for better preventive care and to take a broader approach to prevention in health. But some of the ideas that have been advanced are simply not based in science and can have disruptive effects that increases the cost of food as well as being a disservice to science. So I think that keeping an eye on those good goals, but working through to be sure that what government does is science-based is the key to keeping food affordable and our system delivering what is best for consumers.
You responded to a 60 Minutes piece back in mid-February that didn't necessarily tell the whole story with regard to the food production system and why particular circumstances are noted.
Jeff, I think I was a little nastier than to say that it didn't necessarily tell the whole story. I thought there were some parts of that were just off the mark, suggesting that our food system in the American diet is hurt by our farm programs is simply groundless. Somebody who says that doesn't understand our food, our farm support programs, and certainly is unable to do the basic math. I was really disappointed that the Secretary of Health and Human Services said there's no way to know if food is safe. I just think what we need big picture is to do the science, have a science-based approach, and let the industry respond to the evolving market as the science continues to develop and makes us all smarter.
So there is not a utopia with science advanced to the level that we are today. the Food and Drug Administration has a statement regarding generally recognized as safe. Some don't necessarily understand the significance of that statement.
Comparisons are made to Europe, and that is an apples and oranges comparison. Their regulatory system is different. It's not better. There are more substances that can be used in Europe in foods than in the U.S. And we have a very safe, I would say the safest food supply in the U.S. as in the world. And it's certainly the most affordable.
In Florida, they did their own survey, their own study on chemical residue in bread. And they determined that the highest sample of a loaf of bread they found, 119 parts per billion of glyphosate in the food. Well, the level that is determined acceptable by the Food and Drug Administration is 30,000 parts per billion. And the National Association of Wheat Growers says you'd have to eat 600 loaves of bread a day to even reach that particular threshold. And I think that's where a definition comes in of the generally recognized as safe.
Not even I would eat that much bread, Jeff. The other thing is, let's face it, we've got a tenfold safety factor as we set those government limits. So we have a very safe food system. We ought to keep working to make it safer, but we should have a science-based approach in doing it.
One of the items that is in the House version of the Farm Bill is a rule regarding pesticide labels and preventing states from passing their own food label laws. The Americans for Ingredient Transparency providing some very important information that if that is allowed to happen, it's going to cost consumers money.
Real money. So we believe that a uniform, science-based food regulatory system is what makes the most sense. And the Americans for Ingredient Transparency report that I was very deeply involved in found that if the state, this patchwork of state requirements, proliferates, it will cause a 12% increase in the cost of foods. That is just for the added regulatory burden. We've got enough to contend with in pressure on consumer prices without having regulations alone add over 12%.
Ultra-processed foods, another item that the MAHA Commission has talked about, as well as refined carbohydrates. And this comes into the realm where high-fructose corn syrup could be impacted by government guidelines.
Yes, and there is no accepted definition for ultra-processed foods, and there are some in the MAHA movement who are interested in developing one. But they haven't said exactly what they would use it. And the problem is there are foods that seem to be meet their criteria for ultra processed that are highly commendable. We ought to be eating more of these foods. And so they want to use the term ultra processed to disparage foods and say, you know, to don't eat them. But they are using the term processing as if the amount of processing determines whether a food is good or not to eat. And that is simply upside down. Processing often makes foods safer. It can produce some of the most commendable foods that we have. You know, you look at these general definitions of ultra-processed, it would seem to capture things like yogurt that people ought to be eating more of. So my view is we need to have a science-based approach, be clear what the definition is intended to be used for, and then have a definition that meets that objective. Instead of coming up with a name in advance and say, we're going to smear a group of products by calling them that, and then trying to figure out the definition.
have some statements by the president or by this administration had an impact on the use of high fructose corn syrup by the food and beverage industry?
I cannot quantify that, but my sense is yes, that when you have public figures aggressively disparaging a product and doing so inaccurately, they're simply wrong, contrary to the science, that has an effect. It causes the product to be viewed negatively, even though the scientific consensus is that high fructose corn syrup is nutritionally equivalent to sugar.
North Dakota State University provided some economic analysis. If we were to lose the high fructose corn syrup market overall, not only would it bring a change about the products available to consumers, but it would also hit the nation's economy.
They said that it would cost farmers about 34 cents per bushel. And depending on what the growing region is, that can be upwards to $80 an acre. Also, premiums are paid to farmers in corn refineries. So if you are farming close to a corn refinery, you would get likely 25 to 50 cents more per bushel by selling to that corn refinery. Overall, you can ban HFCS, and that will have no effect on nutrition because it's equivalent to sugar. You will hurt American farmers, especially corn farmers. You will put thousands of workers working in those corn refineries or the people who do maintenance there and other work. And you would have no effect on public health.
John, when we look to the future, the ag bioeconomy continues to draw attention in the financial marketplace. How can this ag bioeconomy not only benefit the environment, but show an area of growth?
Jeff, I'm so excited about the ag bioeconomy. That is the future of American agriculture. We have so much opportunity to grow. Of course, you know what ethanol has done for the corn industry and E15, the promise of E15. It's why we're all excited about that. But that is just the tip of the spear. There are thousands of other agricultural products, renewables that can be developed and can come online. And that is the real future growth opportunity for American agriculture. It has environmental benefits because of all the things that go along with renewables, lower carbon emissions, potentially better end of product life issues when you look at some of the packaging solutions. But unfortunately, the science for all of that is being developed right here in America, but it's being commercialized largely in Asia. And that's the heartbreaking part of this. So there are provisions in the Farm Bill that's now pending that would help us catch up in our policy with Asia and Europe. And it's yet another reason why we need to get a Farm Bill done.
$5.4 billion less in trade from the food perspective to the globe. And now a review coming up for USMCA, the trade relationship with our two closest neighbors. Where does the Corn Refiners Association stand on this review of USMCA?
We believe that there are improvements that can be made. USMCA is America's gold standard trade agreement, and we believe some improvements can be made without rewriting the provisions of USMCA. So things like dealing with competition from non-market economies like China. But fundamentally, we need to get USMCA reviewed and extended because that accounts for the number one and two export markets for American agricultural production. And it's especially important for jobs. Go back to those value-added products you know, nationally, 60% of U.S. food and agriculture exports are either those consumer-facing products or intermediates. But when it comes to our sales to Mexico and Canada, it's 75%. So that is critical for American farmers, but also the entire food value chain.
John, I've been on this agriculture broadcasting trail for about 40 years. And John Bode has always been there, always a man of integrity, always a man of stalwart support for the industry that he serves. And the word on the street is that John Bode in January of 27 may actually retire. What have you enjoyed the most? What will you miss? But more importantly, what do you see for the future?
What I have enjoyed most and will miss most is the people. You know, the people I get to work with have had the pleasure of working with in our agriculture policy community really are an inspiration. And that's why I'm so bullish on the future. We've got wonderful young people coming into food and agriculture policy, and people have good intentions. And so it's the challenge is to look at the bigger picture and beyond the immediate kind of short-term needs and interests, but keep the big picture in mind. And I think that American agriculture has great opportunity as we transition to new market realities and do that with the growth of the bioeconomy. That really does hold wonderful opportunity for growth in our industry, but also better meeting the needs of society.
Well, it's not time to clean out the desk yet. There's still lots of work to do. A farm bill, E15, so many other elements and pieces to do. So you can't hang it up yet.
And I won't. My board doesn't think I've earned retirement yet, not until January. So I'm going to hang in there.
Well, John Bode, we want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for your time and for your service to the industry. John, you've been here before. You know, on Open Mic, our guest gets the last word.
Thanks, Jeff. I'd say my view is for all of us, it's about markets. There's only so much that we can do on input costs. Our real focus needs to be growing markets, and that's our domestic markets, our international markets, and our markets of the future by building the bioeconomy.
Our thanks to John Bode, President and CEO of the Corn Refiners Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.